on the front line of freedom. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with 91-year-old George Hansen of Clovis, California. Born in Minnesota, raised in Canada, and then in Oregon, he would return to Oregon after a quarter century as a missionary in South America. In fact, if you're listening today on 1430 KYKN in Salem, Oregon, maybe you remember him as the pastor of a church there in Salem. His decision to enter the ministry stems from his time in the Army during World War II, serving with the 11th Armored Division in Europe. We heard about how he was nearly killed by a German artillery shell during the Battle of the Bulge. When he recovered from those injuries, he returned to his machine gun squad, now as squad leader. How'd you feel about that? You're what, 20 years old?
I don't remember what I thought, but I thought, well, that's kind of nice. Now I get to sit in the front and go first and handle this 50 caliber machine gun, which I had never fired before.
Never fired before, 20 years old. You've already been hurt and in the hospital before you'd ever tasted combat. I mean, that was your first encounter with the Germans. You got hurt. I think a lot of guys would be shaking in their boots. What was your state of mind?
I think I was very happy because I got to go in the front of the vehicle now.
That's closest to the enemy, don't you know?
I guess I didn't think about that.
In all honesty, do you look at those 3 weeks? Because those are three fierce weeks of fighting. I mean, those 3 weeks are the rest of the Battle of the Bulge, where so many were killed and so many are wounded. What do you think would have happened if you had stayed out there with your unit instead of being in the hospital?
You know, I don't think about it much, but I know what the ones that did stay went through. They went through a lot of opposition, and then they finally broke through the German defense and restored those guys, which was wonderful because they'd been trapped there for several weeks by now.
But in the process, many of them were killed, many of them were wounded, many of them came back with frozen feet because the conditions were so brutal. We've heard from you already how thankful you are, but there's still a lot of war left here. I mean, we've got another 4 or 5 months of this war in Europe. So where did you guys go from there, and what were some of the things you experienced?
Well, the first assignment as a squad leader now was that we got up about to 2 or 3 in the morning, and the captain said, George, your squad is going to go on this path that goes up to a line of pillboxes that we had captured and the Germans had recaptured, and now we're going to go capture this line of defenses again. You'll go up and your trail will lead you to one of these pillboxes, and your assignment is to go and recapture that from the Germans. So when it was still dark, we were walking up this trail headed for that pillbox that we're supposed to recapture. And what happened was, when we were about 50 yards, you could see it, the light was starting to get light. You could see this row of concrete pillboxes, which are they're kind of rounded, and they're a place for defending any enemy that might come. And right in the front, there's a slot where they can shoot with their machine gun. But as we got up close, they said, stop. And the artillery, the American artillery behind us, started shooting shells. And these shells were landing all around these concrete defenses, pillboxes, they called them. Then they says, okay, the artillery has stopped. Now you go up there and get them. So I led my squad, and we went up, and there were two Germans in a foxhole right in front of this defense that we were supposed to retake. And these shells had landed right around them. They were really scared to death. And when they saw me coming with these other guys, they held up their hands and surrendered. So I went up, and I said, give me your guns. And one of them had a rifle and a pistol. And I said, I'll take your pistol, please. And my wristwatch had been destroyed in that explosion. And I said, I'll take your wristwatch, too. I need a clock, and I need a pistol. So that's where I got my first pistol of 8 that I ended up with. So they surrendered, and by the time that happened, others had taken over the pillbox. We went around on the back end of it where there's a door going into the defense thing, and we stayed there for a day. But an exciting thing happened. When I looked back at it, I could see that somehow God knew where I should walk, because the captain came to me and he said, George, there's a little hill here which you can see right behind this defense. And I want you to go up on top of that hill and get a flat place and get one of your machine gun guys to put the machine gun up there, because right across a little valley, you could see a little city. And he said, that's where the Germans are, and they might attack us any minute. So get your guys to put a machine gun up there, and so we'll be ready to defend ourselves. So I walked up this little dirt path and cleared a little flat place for the machine gun. And I went down, and the captain said, you've been up most of the night. Go inside and take a nap. So I did. But before I did, I told the two guys, one carries the machine gun, the other carries a box of ammunition. I said, you guys go up there. I marked the place to put the machine gun. And I went inside this defense and laid down. And about 10 minutes later, they carry some guy in who's screaming. And then they brought another guy in that was screaming with pain. And then they brought a third one in, and I discovered what had happened. The guy carrying the machine gun goes up the trail I had just walked on, and he stepped on a landmine, and it blew off his left foot. So there he is laying, and his buddy that was carrying the ammunition goes to help him. He stepped on a second landmine, and it blew his right foot off. And a lieutenant who saw the two of them laying there crying went to help him. He stepped on a third landmine, and it kind of exploded in his face. His face was all bloody. And there they were, and soon the doctor, the nurse, the guys that are there to help, took them away, and I have no idea where they took them, but probably to a hospital. And then I thought, you know, I walked in that same path. I wasn't even thinking about landmines. And I thought, well, God, you spared my 2 feet again. And what a wonder.
How wide was that path?
Oh, it's just like a lot of paths you see for shortcuts through the woods or across an empty lot, maybe 2 feet, 2 or 3 feet wide at some places.
But somehow you avoided at least 3 landmines, if not more, that hadn't been set off.
That's right. But apparently they just had 3 right there in one section of the path.
I don't know. I've been reminded of a few passages of scripture already while you're talking, but that one reminds me of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So I think we're up to two occasions already where you felt like God spared your life, and you hadn't been over there that long. Did you ever get to a point where you said, I don't know if this can keep happening? I don't know if I can keep cheating death the way I am?
I don't remember if I even thought that. I just somehow thought, well, like I see someone with a flat tire today on the freeway, and I think, well, that's not going to happen to me. And I think that was my attitude. This won't happen to me. I'll make it.
And you told that story about the machine gun and the guys who were setting it up, hitting all the landmines. I would think the other reality is that if you're manning a machine gun, you're quite a target for the enemy. You're one of the first guys they want to take out. Did you have some times where you experienced that, where you were singled out, or the enemy rounds or shells started heading your way?
Well, the very next day, the captain said, we're going to go across his little valley and capture these Germans, hopefully. And so on the way into that town, nothing happened, but we got in the town, and he says, okay, get out of your vehicle and dig foxholes. And we did. Funny how fast you can dig a hole when you think there's a shell coming. And we no sooner got our foxholes dug than the shells started landing all around us. And one of them landed about, 5 feet from me, which was the foxhole of one of my friends. And it hit right on the edge of the foxhole. Pretty soon the shells quit coming, and one by one my buddies started popping their heads out of their foxhole, except this one guy that's about 4 feet from me, and you could see where the shell landed, right on the edge of the hole, and he didn't come out. And the guy says, okay, Hansen, you got to go look and see what's left of him in there. So I'm getting out of my foxhole, and just then he pops his head up, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, a miss is as good as a mile. And what happened, the shell landed, and the shrapnel all flies out horizontally to the right and left. But if they would have been a couple inches closer, he would have been like hamburger.
So there's a situation where he escapes, and that's a big relief. But you mentioned before the time with the landmine where all those guys are injured. Was it hard for you to deal with losing friends, losing guys in your squad, guys that were either killed or were wounded and had to go home?
It is hard, but I guess they kept us busy, so you're on to the next assignment, whatever that'll be, in the next day. Keep going.
While you were over there, did you ever hear from home?
Well, my mother would send letters, and she says, I'm just praying that God will somehow protect you. And that was always an encouragement to know that my mother was there at home praying for me.
How did you feel about the enemy, the Germans you were fighting?
You know, one day the captain says, okay, George, there's a machine gun squad out here. You go get them. So we walked across a little valley and came up by an orchard. As I came up where I could take a look, I could see this German with a machine gun pointing, but he was defending another road that came into the city. We came a different road, and we were coming from the side. And there he was, pointing his machine gun on this road, and I could have shot him right in the head. But I didn't want to kill Germans. I didn't hate Germans. So what I did, I shot right at the top of his helmet, and it must have nicked it because it scared him to death. And he didn't know where I was till he looked and saw me with a gun pointing at him, and he put up his hands and surrendered. But I didn't want to kill him. I could have, because I didn't hate Germans. And I knew that they're the enemy, but I don't hate them, really.
Well, and you wonder, it would be interesting to know what happened to him, what life he led since his life was spared.
Then he came towards me, and on his way he says, Franz, Fritz, wake up. Evidently, they had spent the night there, and the other guys were in foxholes, one about 3 feet away from me, and he stuck his rifle up with a white handkerchief tied to it. And I was shocked because I didn't know he was that close. And we captured the whole squad that mostly was sleeping when we got there. And then we sent him back, and we said, okay, I guess that's our job for the day. And the captain or someone, you know, we didn't have walkie-talkies or telephones, so the captain had one guy that would be his runner, and he'd give him a message, and he'd run up to wherever I was and tell us. So he said, oh, there's another machine gun squad across that road over there. Go get it now. So I said, okay. I said, you guys cover me, and I'll run over there and look. So I ran across the street and went up it was a farmhouse right on the edge of town. I kicked the door open, went in the house. Nobody there. I thought, I'll go upstairs. And so I'm standing by the front door, and right to my left, then was about 3 steps up to a landing, and then the stairway turned and went upstairs. So I went up to the landing where I'd just been by the front door, which had gone shut, and I look out the window, and here is this machine gun squad. They're coming running from the back of the house, and now they're running up the steps on the veranda, 7 of them, and the guy in front has an automatic rifle, and he's shooting at the door. The bullets are coming through the door where I had just been standing. And I'm thinking, what do I do now? When they come through the door, should I surrender or should I shoot them one by one?
Were you all alone?
I was all alone. And then, so I don't remember. It all happened so fast. All of a sudden, to my amazement, they did an about face and started running away from the house down towards the row of other houses. And what made them turn around? I still ponder and wonder why, if they would have come in there, I was all alone. But they didn't. And so I thought, well, I'll get my guys together. We'll go chase them wherever they are. And just then, one of my guys says, the captain says to come back. We're going to leave. So I never found out what happened to that German machine gun squad. I went upstairs and started shooting at them, and they ducked between some houses, and it was just about then that I was called to go.
How many lives were you supposed to get over there? Are you part cat? What's going on here? And you probably still had a few months to go after that. Did you guys have indications that victory was getting close? Did you feel that was almost about to happen?
Well, the fact that this one machine gun squad all surrendered makes me wonder now. At the time, I don't know if I knew, but the captain told us to get in our vehicle, and we drove it down to the center of the city, and then we got out and walked. And what we would do to take over a city, half of my squad would go on one side of the street and the other half on the other. And we'd check out buildings as we went to see if there were soldiers hiding. And as I'm walking along, a machine gun, it must have been upstairs in the house, opened fire on me. And you know, the stores are built right out by the sidewalk. And I looked up and I could see a whole row of machine gun bullets hitting this wall, like the guy had kind of take a sweeping motion, shooting, but just above my head, a few inches. And so I ran across the street, and we called up a tank to come up. And those tanks, they're vicious. They can knock a house down. I never found out what happened to whoever that machine gun guy was shooting at me. But I've often wondered, did God make him shoot too high instead of right through my head? So once again, God spared my life.
There seems to be a pattern developing here, and as George recognized that pattern, it would lead to his post-war career. We'll listen to how that part of the story unfolds when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.